Alrighty.
All right, is everybody ready to learn a little bit about Delve? Yeah. All right, so we're a lot of fun announcements about Azure and Adobe, and obviously throughout the week you're going to get a lot around SharePoint, OneDrive, and Delve. That's kind of our world, so we're certainly the cloud-oriented. Jem's from engineering, and I'm from marketing. My name is Mark Cashman, and I've been working with SharePoint Online for quite some time, closely related to OneDrive for Business, and recently I took over his job.
Yes, that's right, and my name is Jem Icahn. I was the marketing guy for Delve and Office Graph for a few years, but now I switched to the dark side, and I get to enjoy building some of this new stuff we're going to showcase and announce today.
So on which job do you sweat more, marketing or engineering?
I would say both have their own challenges, but it's nice to be able to experience both.
Cool. So we're going to show you a lot of new stuff about what's coming. A lot of it was announced this morning if you were paying attention and not looking at Scott Guthrie and all the things they were sharing. We released a whole bunch of stuff on the blogs, and we'll point to links so you can go read a little bit more. But you're going to see it all here, and really the first time we've demoed a lot of it. Some things have been out in preview if you're paying attention, but some things are pretty new to the service. And really hopefully just land with you leaving what is the value of working with your content, working with people in this new intelligent, smart way. Delve is one area, but you'll see a lot of stuff that we talk about in demo isn't Delve. It's really Delve in other places. Anything else before we start?
That's right. As a matter of fact, as you mentioned, we're going to do a lot of demos. I think we have like maybe 10 slides or so.
Yep.
So it's going to be a very, very demo-focused session. We'll definitely cover in-market Delve early on, but then we're going to quickly switch gears and we're going to show what's next down the road. But we will also not cover a few things as well, right?
Yeah, there's one thing that we wanted to call out, and it got a new name this morning. Can anybody guess what we're not going to cover in this session? We're not going to cover Delve Analytics. And it's not because we don't want to, but because there's a dedicated session for it, and there's so much for them to cover and for this session to cover, they're just separate topics. And if you didn't catch the new name, instead of Delve Analytics, it's now called My Analytics. Very, very great product, very connected to the Office Graph and what we now call the Microsoft Graph. But certainly if you came to hear a little bit of analytics, you'll see it in our demos, but we're not going to click into it, and that's intentional because there's a whole dedicated session. So where we're going to start, we just have about three or four intro slides just to kind of level set sort of where does Delve and the intelligence of the Microsoft Graph sit. If you hear later today at the level that Satya talks about throughout the company, you're going to hear sort of these four pillars. And we firmly land in the intelligence pillar. And hopefully you'll see why by the end of the session. But there's a lot of what we do in collaboration. Collaboration is becoming more intelligent. Intelligence is really the power behind it, which is that Microsoft Graph and some of these new intelligent experiences that are being peppered through the different workloads. And you'll get a real clear understanding of what we mean there. Everything's going mobile, so certainly there's a Delve mobile aspect to it, and that becomes really powerful when you start to see your content on your phone, especially some things that are hard to get to if you're used to VPNing or some of that difficult and challenges to get to your content. But it's really around discovery, but you can also search and find. And then finally, everything's firmly based on trust, and we've got some common questions that Jem and I get around Delve, around the Microsoft Graph, will very much approach that and address that to become, so hopefully you just see how it works, and but feel free to ask any questions there. But all the data, no matter where it resides from a Delve perspective, whether it's in the Microsoft Graph, it's your content stored in SharePoint Online, OneDrive for Business, anywhere where we get our signal from, it's bound to the same service level agreement of Office 365. And from a storage perspective, it's also stored in the same locations as those services. So it's secure, it's private, it follows all the the elements of the trust center as well.
And you know, luckily being in the market for over a year now, maybe close to 2 years, you know, we have some learnings. We know some things that work and that don't work. We learn some things ourselves. And we'll talk about some of these best practices and, you know, making sure you start to roll out Delve in your organization in an efficient way. And those will be all part of the trust/privacy.
So just the high level, sort of the what is Delve, hopefully that's relatively clear, so we won't spend much time on that. Again, any questions that you have, we'll feel free to ask them. But on the base level is it's a way to find other people and other content based on what's relevant and happening around you. So you can go do a search in the search center, and you can commit to a keyword and go in that direction. You'll still come across a lot of the same content based on that keyword. But what we're also then basing it on in discovery is, who are you working with closely? Who do you email with? Who do you share documents with? Who shared with you? And we track all that, and we just start to know, we being this collective machine that's doing only the one thing. It's trying to help you find something faster. But instead of a search that you go and commit to, this is discovery. And so content will come to you, people will come to you, not you going and looking for them.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, there's a significant difference between search and discovery. You know, search works great when you know what you're trying to find. You know it's somewhere, but you don't know where it is. While discovery is something that happens very serendipitously today. And unless you're talking to the right people, unless you're looking in the right places, you're not going to discover stuff today at work. But I think what Microsoft Graph and experiences like Dell really do is they really amplify that discovery. They really start to look out for you and find the right information, as well as the right people that might be relevant to the jobs that you're doing, the projects that you're working on, which makes it a little bit more proactive than what we call more like a reactive experience.
Yep. So if the foundation of discovery is really what Delve is all about, you go to Delve to discover what's happening around you. What are people doing around you? What documents are they creating? What projects are they working on? You can access through that through the phone, and you'll basically have a feed of activity happening around you. And hopefully you'll see that very clear in the demo. Two more concepts just to ground, around the Microsoft Graph, which is really that intelligence behind the scenes. This is just a little visual nature to show you where are all these signals coming from. If I interact with other people in Yammer and somebody shares a link to a website, that might be something that somebody else who's closely related to me would see. More distinct actions if Jem and I are working on this presentation is one scenario. Other people that are closely related to Jem might start to see that. What's Jem working on? Oh, I remember he's giving that talk at Ignite. Maybe I would see that in Jem's feed. But explicitly, if anything's been shared with me by Jem, then of course I have access to it. If somebody else comes across to it, or sees it in their feed, they don't have access to it, but they would see it the same as they would see it in a search. But if somebody else who he has not yet shared it with or didn't intend to were to click on it, it would just be then an access request. So they would send Jem, hey, can I view that document? It looks interesting to me. And then he can say yes or no. Same as any permissions model we've ever established with SharePoint. And so the graph is no different, but it does take in all these signals and it tries to portray, here's what's happening around you. It'll show you all these things in the activity feed.
That's right. And actually, you mentioned signals. You know, the very basic way to think of the graph is there are two key ingredients. There's signals, which is based on our behavior, as Mark gave some examples of. And then there are objects, which could be people, they could be locations, documents, they could be meetings, they could be all of these digital or physical things we would interact with. And what the graph does is it uses machine learning to start to draw relationships between those objects based on those signals. So if you know, Mark and I were working on a document, next morning when I come to the office, as I grab my cup of tea, Dell will notify me that Mark has updated that document because he knows that that's something that I care about, that's something that I was working on. So essentially, the graph gets better as you are using more and more of Office 365. The more you use it, there's more signals, there's more activity, and it just becomes much more richer and much more targeted.
The last thing around the graph is if you're a developer, of course, there's a real thing called the Microsoft Graph. It's the set of APIs or the one entry point to the APIs to be able to program your own experiences. We use the Microsoft Graph to have this application we call Delve to show you in what we will demo to you. But you can also plumb Delve from the API perspective into other experiences. We're doing that as well beyond Delve, and it's very open in terms of using that API. So if you're a developer, there's a ton of sessions that go into how to use the Graph API, all the different endpoints that it'll help you reach for files, for sites, for mail, for calendar. But it is that one entry point, and it's just an example. Delve is just a really nice example of how to use those Graph APIs.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, using those Graph APIs, you know, two and a half years ago or so when we announced Office Graph at that time and Delve, which we had called the codename Oslo, really the first experience that really leveraged the graph was Delve. But, you know, we see Delve as our, I would say, innovation canvas, where we try out new concepts, we learn, and as we learn from these experiments and these experiences, we try to trickle those learnings and that intelligence into existing applications. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we announced a few things, you know, today and as well as a few months ago on how we're bringing the richness and the intelligence of the graph into existing places. And I think you have a few examples of that.
Yeah, right? We do. So we promise this will be the last slide for a little bit. And it really is just to highlight, you came for a Delve session, but there's all of this Delve experience or the graph-powered experiences throughout 365. And these are four pretty easy to find examples, but it's really trickled through even to the client level when you see some of the stuff they're doing online first and then they're thinking in terms of the clients. But the two that we're going to demo, and certainly if you have questions about the other, we're going to talk about the SharePoint Home. Nothing like starting a Delve session with SharePoint being the first demo, but you'll see why. And then to talk about OneDrive for Business, which ironically is built on top of SharePoint Online and is not going to be our first demo in terms of showing you Delve. But we will get to Delve, and we'll talk a lot about it beyond that. So if you think about bringing the intelligence into something like the SharePoint Home, the center of gravity for SharePoint is sites and portals. The center of gravity for OneDrive for Business is your files. And so you'll hopefully start to see, as we use the intelligence of the graph, in that workload, we'll help you locate those types of sites or files that are of interest to you. So, as promised, we will take a look. All right. So who has seen the SharePoint Home recently? Decent amount of hands? Okay. So the SharePoint Home has gotten a significant update as of a couple months ago. And the team that's building that will have a drill-in session if you want to learn a little bit more about the home and some of the SharePoint apps. But both the app and the web are getting this intelligence layer. So you see us and the ability from the machine learning on the back end to be able to track where you frequently went. That's pretty straightforward, but that's coming off the graph. If you see in the tile of each site under this frequent area, those are the site activities that are actually coming off of the graph. And that'll tell us what is specific activity. That's pretty straightforward. But it'll also start to show things that are trending around that site and the users of that site. And from me, logged in as Mark, I would see the activities that are most relevant to me through all of the sites that I've most frequently visited. And of course, I can get to all of the different sites as they're programmed by me or by IT. But if you see down here where it says suggested sites, that's taking the graph and it's asking, what do we know about Mark? What sites has he visited? What has the people that he knows, what are the sites they're visiting? And based on the content in those sites, what is the most relevant to Mark? And that's what you see down in the suggested sites. So instead of layering on, hey, these are all with the graph, it's just to be simple and say, you might also be interested in. And so it's following that mantra. So if we switch over to OneDrive for Business, these are all my files. And if you ever used OneDrive for Business, it should just feel like your storage in the cloud for your personal work files. But you can do a lot there. You can share. You can have things shared with you, collaborate. Yep. But because I'm here in OneDrive for Business, I might be in the mindset of working with files. And I might be working on a proposal. And maybe the discovery engine is going to help me find another proposal of similar content, or one that's already been published or used, and I might be able to steal some components. Or I can just see how far along is a deal based on some of the documents that are being generated. So instead of me going over to Delve, and instead of going from SharePoint over to Delve, we now have the Discover tab. And the little header at the top, I didn't clear that yet, but that's some space you can clean up after you read it. But it basically is trying to tell you, you're in files mode. You're in OneDrive for Business. These also might be files that you're interested in. And they're not going to be just coming from OneDrive for Business. They're going to be coming from all over Office 365, still within your company, of course. And if there's something in here that I don't have access to, I would click into it and make an access request. But this is also a view that's coming to the OneDrive app. And so the OneDrive app certainly is for both consumer for business. In the business side, you would see a new Discover tab, first on iOS, that basically would give you the same view, but from a mobile perspective.
Yeah. And you know, the benefit of both these experiences that you showed, Mark, is I would say there are two key benefits. The first is context. You know, in this example, your context is files. You're looking at your OneDrive, and you might want to discover information. That's what your motivation is. So let's keep that context in mind. The second thing is staying in the flow. Now, Mark could have gone to Delve. He could have gone to another experience and found the same information. But then that would have mean that he had to open a new tab, go there, switch context, switch the experience, have additional cognitive load as he's trying to find where he's trying to go. So instead of that, we wanted to package and bring insights and information right in the flow or where you are. So today, as we talk through some of these demos and experiences, we're going to talk about staying in the flow and why that matters a lot. And the end goal is to really optimize for time. We want to make sure Mark doesn't spend time navigating from one app to another app, and we bring him the right information right where he is. And that's how we can start to improve productivity by measuring number of clicks he had to do.
Excellent. So let's move over to Delve. And just a quick show of hands, the dumb question, but I'll ask it, is how many of you know what Delve is? Not just my intro. Pretty more than normal. Okay.
That's good.
So we'll go through this probably a little bit shorter, but if there's anything that we don't show or you have a question, this is a good time to ask kind of the core Delve elements. I'm going to walk through, especially if you've seen Delve but maybe haven't seen it recently, the team's updated a lot in terms of just the look and feel and maybe where some of the things are located. But if I go into Delve and I land there, how I got here, just the nature of grounding us through the app launcher, is I clicked on Delve. And you can do that from when you're working in Mail, click on Delve, it takes you right there. And of course, it's a dedicated app within Office 365. And this is the home page. And again, like I said before, this is the activity feed of everything happening around me. And as you can see, the different file types, you can see that we've got PowerPoint, we've got Word. In some of the things that I favorite, if they're not showing here, there are also videos that would come through here. And a lot more to come in terms of the different signals and content types from around Office 365. Once you have a card, and I'll just orient you around this one in the upper left, is there's a lot of things that you can do with it. So this is sometimes based on you know what the content is, or you know it's something that you want to send to somebody. So there's some quick actions where I can send this as a link in email, and it's just that. It opens up your Outlook and sends it away. I can copy this link. I can paste it into anywhere, whether that's within Outlook or something beyond if you're using a different client. And then at all times, you can always check who can see this file, and it'll take you to the permissions side of the file and show you who's working on that. And then there are things that are a little bit more of an embedded experience, where if I wanted to share this file after I've reviewed it, quickly to post that over to a Yammer group, I can go in here and I can quickly post this over and say to Andy, check this out. And right now, it only goes to Andy, but I'm going to add the marketing group as well. Not all company, but marketing. There. Oop.
And while Mark is doing that, the motivation here was your job is not to find stuff or to discover stuff. Chances are it's part of a bigger job. You might need to share it. You might need to probably save it for later. You might need to do certain actions on that file once you find it. And that's one of the reasons why we really wanted to make these cards not just beautiful, very easy to consume, understand what the preview, what the title is, the number of views, but also start to make them much more actionable. And what you're seeing is they're becoming more and more actionable each time we get on stage. We have a little bit more actions to
that's
share,
right.
Which is great.
So I have to ask, does anybody have a favorite pet's name that they're willing to share that you think I can type? Favorite pet?
There's one.
Ruby? Sorry, say that one more time.
Ruby.
That's a short one. So we're going to create a Ruby board. And a board is basically, from the Delve interface, a way to collect the different assets that you're discovering so that you can come back to them, share them as a group to other people. And so we'll just start doing a Ruby board. Is Ruby a dog or a cat?
Dog.
Okay. All right. So we're going to type in Ruby. And you'll see as I go, it's going to get a lot easier to add Ruby to other boards. So that was to one document. Oh, sorry, I hit the wrong button. And then you'll see now that we have Ruby there as an option, but also if I were to type ahead, it's obviously going to pull that up. And we'll scroll down and do one more.
And the nice thing is, you could find and discover lots of different types of objects or content in Delve. It could be videos, it could be PowerPoints, words, it could be any type of content you can imagine. And now you're able to glue them together, almost pin them to this board called Ruby.
That's right. So now we've got this Ruby board, three items, and these could come from different team site document libraries, somebody's OneDrive for business, could have been a video in the video portal in a specific channel. And right here is an easy way now for me to come back to all these three. Now, if I find another object or another piece of content, I can easily add it here. I can send it as a link. Because I'm the one who created the tag or started the tag, it's going to automatically add it to my boards area in the bottom left. But I could also, if I was wanting to join one, I could go to that board, and then there would be a join button.
That's right.
Final thing, just from a core Delve, before we move over to sort of the people side of it, is just search. So I'm going to go back to home. I'm going to type in design. And you'll see not only like a normal search, is it finding everything listed and either tagged or has some element of the word design in it, but it's also going to do a spin of relevancy to Mark. So all those search results are now going to be honed to what is most relevant to me. It's a little hard to see in the demo, but that's how it's built against the graph. It's going to query the graph, which goes eventually to the search index, And when the results come back, it'll say, here's everything we found in the index, ordered because we know who you are. We know who you're working with, and we know what you're working on. So search is really powerful for looking for content.
You know, the interesting thing is when you were doing that search, we've been looking at data and how people have been using Dell for quite some time now. And you know, initially we were thinking that the best way to find information was to search for it. Mm-hmm. But search requires that you know the keyword, you know a location, or you know certain things that will find that document. But by looking at the data, what we found out was that it's easier to remember people than to remember keywords that match a document. Mm-hmm. So one example is if I wanted to find a document that Mark had shared with me, I could just go try to search for it. But I know Mark shared that document with me because, you know, it's very easy for me to remember people that I work with. I could just go to Mark's profile and find that document right there as well, right,
that's
Mark?
That's right. That's right. And actually, that's one thing that the team saw is a lot of people, when they were going into the text box, they were typing in people's names, not content or topics. So they really started to optimize. It looks like people are looking for other people, or they're looking for other people's content, which I think is always interesting. So I've just typed in Jeff Teeper, who is competing with us right now. So this is our one plug to say thank you for not going to Jeff's session. Not that we don't love Jeff, but he's got a big session going on right now. But if we were to go look up Jeff Teeper, who in the context of this demo is not a corporate vice president, but in our world he is, we would be able to go learn more about Jeff. Who works with him? What is he working on? And certainly if I start to work with Jeff like I do for Ignite, there's a lot of things that are trending around him because everybody's submitting something to Jeff to review. So it's a great scenario for me, but obviously I can find somebody and I can see everything they're looking at here. And if you look at how Delve is oriented around, here are all documents that Jeff has created or modified or worked closely on. And then I also, under people, I see there's Jeff. So if I committed to go learn about Jeff, this is where I could go learn more about him, more about the documents he works on, more about the people that he works with. And we'll save a little bit of the profile juice because we're going to get into sort of what we're doing there next.
That's right.
Last thing I wanted to show you beyond, if there are any questions before we switch to a little context, is just a little bit of how you can actually manage and control Delve. And one of the things we want to show you kind of falls into the privacy aspect, certainly if there are concerns there. But there's also just if you go into the feature settings, if you go into the feature settings, this is where if as a user, a single user, you want to opt out of Delve. We hope you don't. We hope you find a ton of value there. But we are realistic in terms of the feedback that we've gotten, that there are concerns around privacy. We have been very transparent around how you shouldn't be concerned. And there's a lot to read, and you can ask any questions that you want. But certainly, there may be some roles that just by the nature of it, different than 90% of the company, need to opt out. And this is where you can do it at an individual layer, level. So you go in here, and where it says documents, you would go and turn it off. Same with the My Analytics that you heard talked about today, and you can see now here's the new name coming through. You can turn that off as well.
That's right.
As a user, you have that control.
Yeah, and you know, we always provide the user choice and control, as well as the admins, so the admins can turn it on off as well. But what we have seen is less than 1%, significantly less than 1% of our tenants have actually opted out of Delve. And there's a reason for that. You know, there's an initial reaction that there's some privacy concerns that Delve might actually help you find stuff that you're not supposed to. But because this is a perception issue, we actually took a lot of time and effort to educate our admins as well as our users, whether it's the first run experience when you first start Delve, it teaches you and walks you through the experience, or whether it's the documentation that we have published and that's available on office.com. We really wanted to make sure that users understand that A, Delve never changes any existing permissions. So if a document is on a SharePoint team site, if I have access to it, I'll see it. If it's not, I'll never see it. Delve never exposes any private communication. So if Mark emails me attachments, only him and I will be able to see it. Nobody else will be able to see it. It's just a search experience that has discovery built into it, which makes it easier for you to discover. And once you understand that, you know, we don't change permissions, but we inherit existing permissions, then there's a couple things you could do as you're rolling this out in your company. You could make sure that the permissions are set correctly. People understand how they can maintain that. And we ran into some issues with that. You know, in the good old days with OneDrive, by default, all the files were available, which shared with everybody. But now, by default, it's only available to you unless you explicitly go and share with somebody else. And that takes care of a lot of those problems. Another one is we added, almost a year ago, this admin control that an admin can go and mark certain team sites and document folders and certain documents hidden from Delve, meaning that I could still search for it if I know what I'm looking for, but it will be taken off the discovery experience, meaning that the system will not proactively bring it up in the flow. And those are some of the things that we're doing to give admins that additional control, as well as users additional user-level opt-out and opt-in type of settings as well. And we have seen quite a bit of progress over the last 2 years on that.
So we've got two links here just to call attention if you want to go read more from a user experience. It's a nice article that's been updated a couple of times, really just based on feedback we've gotten. This isn't clear. Do you mean that? So these are kept pretty fresh by nature of the questions that are being asked. And then there's one for admins. I see a question. Yep. So what it does is it doesn't do anything based differently than enterprise search. So if you were to go to the search center that you get from SharePoint or from a team site, you perform a search from there. What is indexed is the title metadata and, of course, a thumbnail. And so that result set, if I went to go do an enterprise search and I typed in something obscure or whatnot, or something big like marketing, I'll see a lot of results, not all of which I have access to.
Yeah, but just keep in mind, you know, if you don't have permissions to see that document, it will not even show up in search results. So it will not show up in any of those experiences. It's one example. If you have access to read but you can't edit the document, then you would have to ask the user to provide you edit access. So it sticks to the same permissioning acling we have with the Enterprise Search Center, essentially.
Question. Great question. I'm going to let the engineer ask that.
So we're actually going to cover hybrid scenarios towards the end of the session, so please wait for that one. Cool.
So moving on, if there aren't any more questions around just core Delve, I see one. We'll take a couple minutes just to kind of get the core Delve questions, maybe one or two questions. We'll be here afterwards as well. And then we're really going to switch gears to show you what was announced
next
today and what's coming next. So I saw one question here.
Private data meaning that I uploaded a file to my OneDrive, and I didn't share it with anybody. I will only have access to it because it's just my documents. If I share it with Mark, he'll have access to it too. He could find it on Delve when he goes to my profile. So it's basically just adhering to the existing permissions of that document. Permission, yes.
That's correct.
Emails are not shown in Delve at all. It's document-centric only.
Yep. Yes. The only thing, though, just to be clear, if somebody were to email an attachment to me, and I have, of course, permissions to the attachment that they sent, that email attachment would be something that I would see in my view only.
Yeah.
Sorry. The question was just asking about the permissions, if people have access to your email. And it's not the email that we show. We would never show an email unless,
that's
obviously,
right.
you have it in your email inbox. But from an attachment perspective, you would see there's a pivot to be able to show attachments.
That's right. I'll show what that looks like as well. But essentially, it's basically whatever permissions people have access to, they'll see it. If they don't, they'll never see it. It's a very simple principle that we stick to. One last question, and then we need to move on, but we'll reserve more questions for after. Yes, please. They're not. It's only document-centric that you'll discover in Delve today. Yeah.
Yep.
Documents there as well. Yep.
Yep.
Cool.
All right. So we're going to switch gears, and I'll just tee it up while Jim's getting his demos ready. So talking about evolving this people experiences, and so not only in the Delve experience are people experiences. One more.
Yep.
There you go. So there's just a lot that the team is now doing for discovering content through people. And there's really three elements that we're going to land on today. They're part of our announcements this morning, and we'll give you a view.
Yeah.
One slide and then lots of demo.
That's right. That's right. So where are we taking Delve? That's a good question. There was a few of you that asked me during lunch today. And essentially, what you'll see is I'm going to cover three different areas we're investing in actively right now. The first is the Dell Windows 10 app, which we announced today. It's available. If you have Windows 10, you could go to the store, download it, and start using it right away. Because it's a universal app, it also works on the phone too, and I'll do a short demo. But we just didn't do the Windows 10 app to make another version of Dell on mobile. We already had one on Android and iOS. It's already out there. But with this one, we actually focused on a specific set of scenarios to make the experience much more proactive with notification and badges. And you'll start to see what I mean by that. The next one is, earlier on we were talking about how OneDrive Discover View and the SharePoint Home Discovery experiences, how the strategy for us to bring these experiences in the flow. And as part of that, we've been working on renovating and updating the people cards, the hover cards, across Office 365. To bring Dell-like experiences and intelligence into that. That is a significant investment area for us because the usage of these people cards are huge. Whenever you receive an email from somebody you don't know, you might hover over that person to find out who that is. That's a great opportunity for us to give you a quick snapshot of who that person is within that card, and you'll see why that really helps us improve people's experiences shortly. And then, this is more of an enterprise profile scenario. People want to be able to express themselves, be able to update their expertise, the projects they worked on, so that not only can they also find other people within the company that they care about, but also they could be found for their own expertise. So we are really innovating and evolving the edit profile experiences in Dell, so you could start to capture more about yourself and make that searchable so people who need to find special subject matter experts within your company can start to use these experiences to really find those people. So saying that, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to start with the Dell Win10 app, and then we'll do a quick demo of the mobile version, and then we'll dive to the rest of the topics. All right, so here is Dell for Windows 10. As you can see here, there's various different views. I see that this is my profile, which I could get to. It's very similar to what you saw on the Dell web experience. Of course, it's a fully responsive design, so if I'm on a phone, this will render perfectly as well. And then I have my favorites. This is very similar to the favorites that Mark showed earlier. These are documents that I marked to get back to later, and that is something critical for me. And then here's the Discover view. This is very similar to the Discover view you saw in OneDrive. This is where you could go and discover new information. But what's really interesting here is, in this Discover view, we started to do some updates already. For instance, if I scroll down here, I see a document from Katie Forson, who's our PR contact, and looks like yesterday she updated this Ignite 2016 PR document. This is important because in the old Dell, on the web version, I would have never known that document was updated unless I spent the time to look at it. But what we have learned from user feedback is they really like Dell, but they don't always remember to go to Dell. And when they go to Dell, they don't really know what's new and what's recent. So we're starting to use those flags to really mark certain things to draw your attention to. And that has really taken off quite well. Another thing you'll notice here is we have this little people tab here. And as you can see here, there's a six counter. There's a badge for six. When I click on this, you'll start to see some people listed here. These are the people that I work with closely with. And you start to see these little badges. So Mark has one update. As a matter of fact, if I zoom here, you'll see that Mark has one update. Polly has four. And in this way, now we're using the graph to notify me on the recent updates from individual people. Because this is a really great way for me to hone in and stay in the know. So if I wanted to see what Mark is working on, I would just click on his profile, and you would see the documents that he has recently modified. I know Polly has four updates for me. I'm really interested in that. I click on Polly's profile, and now I'm able to see some of the documents that she has updated as well. As you can see here, this is a descriptions.txt. This is actually for the store. She's been working with us to update the store description, so I know that this is something new. She just emailed me 3 hours ago. As a matter of fact, there was a question, what about emails? We don't show email communications, but we do show attachments. She emailed me this. This could have been buried in my inbox someplace, but now Dell notified me that she had emailed me this attachment. As a matter of fact, what we have done is we found out that OneDrive and SharePoint is where collaboration teamwork really happens, but we still heavily rely on emails to send back and forth documents. It's a bit unfortunate, but that's the truth. So for that, we have added an additional tab here. So this is documents and attachments across all of Office 365. But if I click on attachments, now I have pivoted to the email attachments that she has sent for me. And you know, in Outlook, it's really hard to find attachments. You have to search by somebody's name and then click a little thing on the top says has attachments, and then try to look at what those documents are, click open them. You might spend like 5-10 minutes trying to find an attachment, but we have really made it extremely easy for you to get back to a piece of file right from here.
But the thing to remember is I do work closely with Jem. Jem is getting that as an email attachment. That email attachment will not show up in my Dell feed.
That's right.
Because I was not on that email thread.
Or anybody else's Dell feed, because it's between him and I. So in this case, let me look up Jeff, you know, just like Mark looked up Jeff Tepper. In this case, I'm looking at Jeff as well. And Jeff and I don't work on a day-to-day basis, but yet again, I not only see the documents that he has modified, such as this keynote, his demo flow, a lot of great stuff here. Since I can't see his demo, I would actually catch up from here. So I could favorite this document so I could get back to it at a later date. And then when I scroll down here, I also get to see documents that are trending around Jeff. So this isn't the stuff Jeff has modified, but these are documents that are trending around Jeff, that Jeff, the people that Jeff works very closely with. This is a great way for me to see stuff. Of course, these are documents that I only have permission to see. If I didn't have access to these documents, I would have never seen that as well. So as you can see, we're starting to bring this experience in a much more proactive lens with these notification and badges, these real-time updates. And I think it's going to be critical for us to invest in this area to make Dell even more useful down the road. So we also have a mobile version as well.
That's right. So let me switch over. And so what you're going to see will look a little bit like, I can't remember what, the emulator. But this is really a 950 XL. Anybody with a 950 XL Lumi out there? Come on, there's got to be one. I see him. Hey, that's perfect. All right. So, of course, the bigger point for us is that it's a universal app, like Jem mentioned. This is the same bits that I downloaded from the store literally just a couple minutes ago to make sure we had the most recent that we updated today. And, of course, the one that Jem is showing. It's the same bits, and it looks great on all screens, big and small. But specific to the Windows phone in this mobile view, you're going to get same access to this stream of activity and the content around you. So the first thing that you see are sort of popular documents in the back side. That's the Discover tab. If I go to me, you know, it used to be going to your own profile was a non-event. Why would you ever go to your own profile except for maybe one time, enter a few things in for other people to know about you? But the value here is getting back to your work. It's the easiest way for me. If I work in somebody's OneDrive for Business, somebody else's team site that they invited me to, or a group that I'm now a part of and there's document sharing there, either I'm active on it or just a part of, I'll start to see that, and I'll start to actually see what have I been engaged on. This is the quickest way to get back to it. And I can also see, of course, other people around me and then reach out to them based on who I work with. But where people starts to get more interesting is if I go to the People tab, I can actually find somebody like Andy. I'm going to tap on Andy, and I can start to see Andy, who I work a lot with, but maybe not as closely as with Jem. And I can now start to see the other content that he's working on. If they've got a new spec of something that they're working on, I'd see it here. If I'm working with a sales team, I would see maybe a proposal to a company that they asked me to come and meet with. And again, I can now see through Andy, I can discover other people that he works with that I might have interest in what they're working on. And then finally here, if I had favored anything through the web, through the app, now through mobile, this is where I would see that roll up of favorite content. And of course, once you find something, whether it's a PowerPoint, a Word document, a video, you'll deep link and launch right into the application that you either have on your phone or it would go to a web view.
That's right.
So that is the same exact app in what it looks like running on Windows Mobile. That's new today, out in the market.
Yeah, it's out today, so please go download it and let us know what you think. All right.
So, but the world is not just apps.
Yes, that's true. As a matter of fact, you know, apps are great at showing hero experiences, but we really want to bring the intelligence of Dell to the masses. And that means that we need to bring these experiences in the flow of the user. It's always hard to remember to go to Dell. It's always hard to go to open a tab and go somewhere else. How can we make these people experiences where you're already working on a day-to-day basis? And where you're spending most of your time today is in Outlook. And I'll show you what that looks like today. So here's my Outlook 16 on 32. And as you can see here, I'm at my Dell UW group. And I get this email from Tony. This is a very typical scenario. I don't know who Tony is. I want to learn more about him. So what do I do? Now, I could, in my world, I could go to Dell and search for his name. But but that's going to take me roughly 10 seconds.
Couple clicks.
Or I could just hover over him. And today, we have this little hover card. As you can see, it has some basic information, such as his title. He's available now. I could IM him if I want to, his contact information. And then when I click on this little thing, you see this really, really, I would say, retro card that has some information, his calendar, perhaps his org chart, which is used quite often, by the way. A lot of hover card usage is on the org chart, believe it or not. We found that quite interesting. And then there's all of the DLs and then groups that he's part of, which I clicked, and it's going to take some time to load it because I think he's a part of a lot of different DLs. As you can see, a laundry list of DLs. So this isn't really a great way for me to learn about Tony. I mean, I know his title, I know which team he's on, but I don't know what he works on, I don't know what he cares about, what projects is he involved in. It's a very, very limited, narrow, and a very static view. So how can we make this much better? And how can we make the intelligence of Delve into these experiences? So one way we started to do that was a bit of a month ago, maybe a month and a half, we made an announcement of we were starting to bring these rich people experiences into OWA, Outlook Web Experience. In this case, you see I received the email from Isabel, so I hover over her card now. It's a quick card with her title, who she reports to, as well as some really quick lookup information, such as her email address, her phone number, and all of that. But this isn't really good, is it? It still doesn't tell me more. Now, if I click on this, now it takes me into this people pane, which puts itself on the right side. Now I see more information about Isabel. I see her office number. I see her org chart in more detail. I even see who she's working with, the people that she works on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes org chart is not the best way to communicate who you work with and what your team is, because sometimes we might belong to a certain team in the org chart, but we might be working on multiple different teams. And this is generated from the graph, all based on public signal, so nothing private, and it gives me a sense of who she really works with. Now I click on our groups, I see the groups that she's part of. This isn't very rich right now, but in the future we will actually start to improve the relevance, so I start to see groups that have the most updates, the most interactions, so I don't end up going to a stale group. And then when I scroll down, these are all the emails that she sent me. I could have found the same thing in Outlook. If I search for from Colin Isabel, I would have got these emails, the attachments that she has sent me, as well as the different meetings we have. In this case, past events, I don't have anything for future with her. But as you can see here, what we did was we provided this 360 view, all of my communication, my documents, my meetings, all of them in a quick little snapshot so I could quickly learn more about her in a quick glance. This was very natural. I didn't know who she was. I clicked on the card, and I was able to quickly get back to that stuff. Now, what if Mark had sent me an email, and he was asking me, hey, Jem, did you check the latest deck I updated? Now, how would I reply to that email? I would have to go to Delve or open a new tab, go to OneDrive, look at my Shared With Me folder, find the file that Mark shared with me, and then try to see if I found the updates good. Instead, I could click on Mark's name, and then I would go to the files, and I'll be able to find the file right here as well. So as you can see, we're not only saying that we're improving productivity, but we're actually measuring number of clicks. That's how we quantify how we improve productivity. And that's an area that we're really trying really hard to bring some of that intelligence in Delve into the flow of the user so they could do much more with less number of clicks.
Question.
Yes. The work suite is based on her activities in areas that I also have permission to. So if we're part of a same group and she's communicating with a lot of person in that same group and I could actually see that activity, then that's a public signal that lets her know that she works with these people. But if she was emailing somebody private, that would never show up here. Cool. So that was one view. That was one way that we really wanted to bring that in the flow. But we also noticed that sometimes the pane itself could be a bit cumbersome. So we want to be able to bring the right insights based on context. So in this case, I'm looking at this team site, a group team site. And as you can see here, there's Marius. He has updated this document. I don't know much about him, so I hover over him. And without even clicking, now this new card starts to render. This is what we call the intelligent people cards. And we actually announced them today. They're now 100% available on all worldwide for OneDrive and SharePoint experiences. So when you go back to your office, you could actually see this perform.
And I was just going to say, the one way to think about where these cards show up and where they will show up more and more in the future is if you're used to what Link and now Skype offer in terms of knowing the presence of somebody, hover over the presence bubble and you get a little bit more information about the person. That was driven around, I see somebody I want to contact him. That is all still there. That is the where this team is working off of. But what the team is really building, you've heard us say a couple times, is you want to learn more. There's a lot more to learn, and we want to not have you have to go out somewhere to find it. So now these cards are, not only are they informative, but they're active.
They're very interactive, too. Like, I want to see his org chart. I click Show Organization, and now I'm looking at his organization right within here. And then I see that there's documents that he has modified in this group. I click See Show More Documents, and now I get to see the document, little previews. I can see what those documents are about. And what's important is we kept the scope to this group, because sometimes you might be in this long document library, and you're trying to find a document this guy has modified. And how hard is that? You have to search, you have to filter, you have to do all of those different things. But with just a few clicks, you could get to that document right within where you are. Now, of course, if I want to, I could increase the scope to say all of Office 365. That would mean any document he emailed me, any document he shared with me. Who cares how you share documents? It doesn't matter how a document is shared. What matters is, in the cloud, I should be able to get back to it very easily, and that helps us to do that. Question there. Configurable? The answer is no, not at this time. And I'll tell you why, because this is just the beginning.
Well, I'd be curious just to get a little feedback. In what way would you want to configure it in terms of how we think about? Of the person?
Let's talk more. We're just getting started in this journey, so we'd love to capture feedback. Question. You could go to the web experience. If I click more about Marius, it will take me to his Delve experience on the web. We are looking to do some investments for desktop people cards as well, but that's not something I'm prepared to talk about today. Okay, so this was interesting.
We'll
I want to
come back just after.
Sorry, one other question. Sure. So this is all based on Office 365 activity, no external line of business systems. But that's an area that we're willing to look into in the future as well. We're just getting started with the baseline. The baseline will be Office 365, and then there'll be a goal to actually expand on that so people can customize and there'll be questions. So just for the sake of time, we're going to take questions at the end of the session. So please stick around. We'll try to answer as much as possible. Okay, so in this case, I was looking at Marius's org chart. But what if I wanted to see Satya's card? Who wants to see Satya's card? So I click on Satya. And as you can see here, Satya has not shared any documents with me. So it's based on privacy. I don't see anything that he's working on because he hasn't shared with me. I see that this is his staff, which is part of his org chart since he's on top of the food chain. Everybody else reports to him. But as you can see here, the permissions carry over in these experiences as well, just like they do in Delve. And that's something that we are really, really serious about, and we really want to make sure that's the case. So, of course, this only provides you a quick view of that person. It's still not much, but it's a snippet. I get to see his org chart. I get to see the documents that he works on. But we are planning to add more richness to this. As a matter of fact, what you're looking at is what we call Wave 1. That is what we announced today. This is what Wave 2 will look like. Meaning that you will see these additional, we call these content panels. You will start to see these additional content panels. We already shipped the org chart, and we already shipped the recent documents. But in the future, we'll be shipping these additional content panels as well into this card in such a way that context will be put into consideration. That's where the intelligence comes into play. What I mean by that, if I hover over Mark's card today, Mark and I, we work closely. I don't need to see his org chart again and again. So the system will anticipate our social distance and instead show me the documents that he has recently modified. But if I get an email from somebody I don't know anything about, chances are my motivation is, who is this person? So the org chart panel will go up in the list, and perhaps some other related panels. So the panels will change based on the context as well as the social distance. Those are the two variables that we're working on to build as part of the graph intelligence to make these cards still bite-sized, but also very context and very personalized to each user. And that's an area that you're going to start to see come alive over the next year or so. But we have started with wave one of these experiences so far. All right, so that was a quick overview of the cards. Now, a gentleman asked me there, well, can I go to that person's profile to see more? And the answer is yes. On the bottom of this card, there'll be more about Marius. So if I click on this, it will take me to his profile. As a matter of fact, I have one open right here. This is Mark's profile. This is live data, real data in our tenants.
Real coffee beans.
Yeah, so he changed his background apparently. And as you can see here, the profile is getting better over time. His contact information, he's currently out of office. I see that he's out of office quickly right here. I even see a view of his calendar, if I have access to it. Looks like you're busy right now, Mark, as I could see.
Forget what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah, yeah. And then I click View Profile, and now in this profile, I start to see additional information that Mark has actually put about himself. This contact information comes from Azure AD. This is about me. As you can see here, there's a little snippet about himself. His projects, his skills, it looks like he's into video editing and public speaking. I wonder why. This is great because in the future, these will become like tags. So I might just click on this in the future and it will return me all people that are working on video editing. That's the best way to find the subject matter experts, to be able to use these as tags to be able to search and refine across all of the people.
So before Jim shows you kind of the editing experience on his profile, how many people, either yourself or within your company, have built something like a people portal, a place where you go and type somebody's name in, find out more about them? A lot?
A lot of people.
At least maybe half? Well, certainly. It was built off of my sites. You didn't have to, but thank you for doing that. But certainly you could build off of the My Sites, the information in the sites, and build a portal that you would go to, type in a person's name, maybe even visually see the org chart as you've seen now that we're working on. And that really is one way to think about what this team is building. You know, we had this mantra a couple of years ago where we talked about next-gen portals. And there's a lot we'll talk about tomorrow around SharePoint and what we're doing in the publishing space and, of course, the collaboration space. But where you see a lot of the investments around the graph, of course, with the importance of people, this is what you're starting to see, that element of being able to discover about another person, be able to find them. And with something like this where you see expertise, a lot of people used to refer to these as expertise portals or expertise finders.
Yep.
And as you see here, this is a way to input the information. But the value you get is the more that the system knows about you or other people, the quicker you are to find the right expertise.
That's right. And you know, I was looking at Mark's, but if I wanted to modify my profile, here's my profile. As you can see, I could update my profile picture. I could even change my cover picture as well if I want to. I could add private information like my birthday and things like that. I could add about me. I could add my projects, and we even wanted to make sure for everything we add, there's a privacy setting. I could say either this is only visible to me or available to everybody in my organization. Skills and expertise, it will actually give you information, you know, guidance on what other skills are available. So if I start typing in, I see all of these other skills that have been used in the organization. So I don't have to come up with my own term. As I'm typing in, there's this almost like a taxonomy. It starts to give me recommendations on what those tags can be. And eventually, not right now, but these tags will be searchable. So if I ever want to find a person who's an expert on video editing, chances are Mark might come up in the first 10 hits, if I have to guess. So as you can see here, you know, schools, interests, hobbies, it's all up to you and your users to decide how much information they want to share. But what we do know is we want to help people make this as frictionless as possible. If you want to update your profile, it should be as smooth as possible. And as you do, you should start to see the return on investment so that people get to discover you for your expertise. Now, just to summarize it up, what is happening with Delve? Well, we're still investing in more proactive experiences, more activity feed type of experiences. On the Windows 10 app, you started to see notification and badges. That is going to be an area we're going to invest heavily on. And then really, we really want to bring the intelligence of the graph and these people experiences in the flow. And people cards are something that is available across all Office 365 experiences, whether it's Outlook, SharePoint, OneDrive. Even in the Office clients, you could hover over somebody's card and you'll be able to see some information about them. And then we're really doubling down on making it an enterprise-ready profile, meaning that the profile could be edited, updated in ease, and it could start to capture your projects and your expertise to make it much more easier for other people to find you. So hopefully that gives you a sense of direction on where we're going. We had started 2 years ago just being a document discovery engine, but now you could start to see that we're really a people team. We're really focused on helping people find knowledge and information around other people. And we think that the people-to-people connection goes beyond the silos that the apps have. It's not about where the document is stored. It's about who you know and what that person knows. And we're trying to really make that possible with some of these experiences.
Cool. All right. So we're kind of done a little bit past demos. And hopefully you get a sense of all the new innovation that's either recently shipped or was just announced today. We wanted to take a little bit of time, really two more sections, to talk about some of what we see our customers using Delve for and how they're both using Delve and plumbing Delve into some of their other experiences that they're able to build, and then talk a little bit around hybrid, and then close it out with some of the things that hopefully we help or that we ask you to go do when you try things out. So first customer, Swiss company, it really took a look at Delve and really liked the experience of Delve. In terms of what their company, their own customers, so this is sort of an IT statement, what the people around their company were able to do is to be able to find relevant documents based on the people they work with. But what they really liked was they wanted that closer to home, so they have a broader portal and within their team sites where they're actually using the Microsoft Graph API to put in content that will then be discoverable from the team site. And so you can do that. The same as Delve gives you an activity feed of things going on, you can do that within the team site as well. And so what they did is they took the API, they made some custom design elements and layout in a portal, and of course in a team site, and they were able to build their own custom apps using the API, and they wanted a Delve-like experience in a lot of different places, not just Delve, and of course not just the places that we build. So they took ownership to build the Delve-like experience with inside their organization so they could help with people finding content, of course, the other people around them. Marks and Spencer out of the UK has a lot of stores, 900 stores throughout the UK, and they wanted to just bring all of their ideas closer together and all of their people closer together. So they took Delve, and they think of it as taking Delve and activating Active Directory, being able to not only say, okay, we know who people are, but let's start showcasing some of those connections. And they really started to see the pace of innovation across the stores in terms of ideation, in terms of creating new ideas, sharing them, getting them implemented in the same way across the stores. So it might just be the tip of the spear, finding the right person. Who's done this before? Or, wow, it looks really interesting what that group over there was doing. And they took that and they really also built in some training so that they not only said, hey, we hope people go to Delve, but certainly they pointed a lot of their resources across all 900 stores to think of Delve as an ideation engine or a place to go find people and other things that they're working on, and specifically for them around not just new products, but actually the way that they sell them across the stores. So we've gotten to the last section, and we really want to talk about two concepts here. One is the question earlier around on-premises, and we may have half answered your question. But really, when you think about the platform, what does Delve enable? Hopefully you have that pretty clear in your head of how you can leverage Delve. But what if you're not just in Office 365? What if you have a lot of content still on-premises? And that could be on-premises SharePoint, file servers, a lot of different locations. Whatever it is that you have your on-premises search engine crawling, that has potential to be something that Delve, if you wire it up properly, would be able to then showcase all the way down to the apps that we were showing you, iOS, Android, and Windows now. Yep. But just to ground the concepts around hybrid, if you have single search set up and you have hybrid search set up, each now very wizard-driven, not necessarily a consultancy for multi-months, but something that's more of a wizard-driven with SharePoint 2016. That doesn't mean your entire farm on-premises has to be 2016, but certainly the endpoint that eventually connects to the cloud. When you configure hybrid search, that puts just the search index. Your content stays where it is on-premises. And even as you start to migrate content, if you choose to do that, we'll just start to track. The search crawler will always ask, where is the content now? Where is it now? So if you have single sign-in and hybrid search configured, you then have the opportunity to have Delve then light up and help people around your company discover content from wherever it lives. And it could be a point in time that you're hybrid, and then maybe you're moving all to the cloud. or maybe you're half and half, or maybe you're still a lot on-prem. But if there's value in moving your content to the cloud, or you're starting to leverage the other workloads that then Delve enhances with discovery, you can do that. Yeah. And the setup is much easier than it was if you heard about hybrid in the past, SharePoint, Dell. It really is now just a configuration setup.
As a matter of fact, I mean, once you have that configured, all of the mobile apps, you know, the Android, iOS, or Windows mobile apps will just work as you configure it out of the box. And the users will not know what content is coming from on-prem or the cloud. And why should they? Do they have to know where it's coming from? It's their, you know, the documents, it's their content. They're in a safe environment within work. And the user experience really encapsulates that complexity away from the users. And that's by design. We really wanted to emphasize that, too.
Yep. So in terms of once you have Delve in a hybrid state, and I forgot to mention that on-premises, you can have a Delve tile in your on-premises app launcher that then, of course, takes you to the cloud. So you might still have a question in the back that was asking about on-premises. But that's about as close as we get to on-premises, which for a lot of our customers is what they're looking for. They might not be always migrating off. They might be keeping content on-premises. But part of the question we think you were asking is, can we bring the whole graph and put that on-premises? The answer is, of course, you could build your own solution. But the graph itself for us, the way we've configured it, the graph is a pretty large project for us. And of course, the data set for each customer is something that will only be in the cloud. But as far as the value you can get and build experiences off the graph, you could absolutely do that and have that be on-premises. So to help you get there, if you're thinking about migration, this isn't really a Delve slide, but it applies to it, if you want that value of Delve as kind of your endpoint, is through the Fast Track. And there's an entire session on this. If you don't know what it is, it's a really great resource for all Office 365 customers to help you with X, and you get to fill in what that X is. If you choose to use that X amount, whether it's just expertise, knowledge, or funding to help you with some of that, Fast Track has a lot of great offerings. From a Delve perspective, it usually is about getting content into the cloud or helping with training. There's a lot of things that that Fast Track offers. And so we wanted to kind of start our call to actions with a big one. This is actually a resource that's available to you, and some of these actions, like migrations, cost money, and there's an offering through Fast Track that can help you offset that. So if you haven't seen Fast Track recently, there's one more specifically around migrating your content from other third-party content sources like Box or Drop or SharePoint itself on-premises and moving that either into OneDrive for Business or into SharePoint Online. Once it's there, natively, the graph just starts to pick it up. Any actions that you start to take start to go off of that, and it really starts to bring Delve alive. So three more things, and then certainly open to any questions. And if there's something that you saw and you want to see again, we're happy to re-demo or demo something that maybe didn't make sense. But today we announced a new blog post, and if you go to Office Blogs, which is blogs.office.com, and you just go and do a search on Delve, you'll see a bunch of stuff. But today, specifically, there was one that went through everything that Jem showed in terms of the Windows 10 app, the people cards, and the updates to the profile. And hopefully that's a good read. If you want to share it with people who are not at the show, it's a real easy cheat to say, here's what they shared in that session. Instead of taking a bunch of notes, this is all relatively worked out. But if you want to try it, this link will take you directly to start a trial. It's no commitment from a financial perspective. But if you don't have Office 365, you can easily get it within 15 minutes. Start playing with it, start a pilot, do a whole bunch of stuff. And we hope that you then go and click on the Delve tile and give it a try. And then finally, all the apps are in the store, specifically today for Windows. But iOS and Android are there. These are direct links that will take you to the store. So if you want to hit these on your phone, it'll take you right there. Or share them and email them to yourself. It'll take you right there.
Great.
So we have a couple of minutes, I think, to have any questions.
Any questions are welcome. And thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. We'll start here, and then there are a couple questions. Yeah?
It's from Active Directory, you know, the direct reports and the department chart from there. It's mostly a people connection. So it's who do you report to and who does that report to versus, you know, divisions per se.
Yep. And are you one of seeing that it to navigate across the org, not just to see who reports to who?
Yeah.
Okay. No, it isn't plumbed that way, but
yeah, not today.
I understand the question.
Yes, sir. Question.
And we'll.
Can we use the microphone there? There's a microphone right there. Thank you.
Just so it's recorded.
Yeah.
We forgot about that.
Sorry, guys.
Just a point of clarification on the hybrid configuration.
Yep.
All I need to do is configure search hybrid, and it's automatic that Delve becomes, well the Delve discovery will include.
There's sort of the three steps. One is you just have to do it.
Okay.
And it's really a best practice if you're using Office 365 in any way. Setting up single sign-on, which basically means I'm going to at least commit to a one-way directional to Azure AD. And I can still have my AD on-prem serve the token, and that's just federating Active Directory.
Okay.
Once you've done that, then you set up hybrid search, which will take you through a wizard that says, where's your cloud?
Yeah.
Where's your on-prem server or server farm for your search? And then it'll say, are you ready to combine these? And it'll do sort of a push of an index to the cloud, and then each service on-prem and in the cloud will continue to crawl. And serve that single index.
And there's some really good documentation online about the step-by-step.
Yep. And then the third thing is, if you want to, if you're on an on-premises team site or a portal, maybe HR web or something like that, and you go into the app launcher and you want to have Delve show up there, there's just a little checkbox in the on-premises server. You check it, and it'll help you then authenticate from on-premises to take you to Delve. And that's the third thing.
Great. Question from there?
They're talking about bringing it to 2013. There's a lot of these hybrid experiences that are available for 2013, but the specific question that he's asking about is when you go to the waffle in the upper left and the app launcher appears. That was shipped in 2016, not just for us, but through the suite. But it is something that they're looking at bringing to 2013. But if you have 2013, you can still set up hybrid search.
Yep.
You just have to have a component that talks to the cloud, but your rest of your farm might be 2013. It's a good question.
Question there?
Yes. Yep. If you want to add additional information, like a location or building information on the card.
So we're going to support like basic things like location, office number, those sort of things. The building map, we don't have that in plans because not many companies have a building map. But we're definitely open to it. We'd love to learn more. I'll be actually at the booth tomorrow if you want to join after 2 o'clock. I'd love to discuss more about that. Yep.
Thanks.
Question there? Should we?
What do you think? I'll give you the real honest answer is we're not final with the acquisition. And until we are final, we really can't say anything. That's a legality.
But I like the way you think.
But the answer is, of course we're interested. More to be determined once we're closed.
Yeah.
But thank you for asking.
Their profile is the group. All of us, they're still going to have for a group.
Yeah, so it actually came up a little bit before lunch. So it felt like a random question until I thought about it.
Yeah.
I'll answer at least from what I think you're asking. You tell me if I'm right or wrong. But if you're on a team site today, or if you're in a group, they're now connected. And if you were to go to the name of the group, click on it, a group card will appear. What they talked about a year ago, I think Julia mentioned it, was that there would be sort of a destination for the group.
Yeah. And that breaks our new strategy, right? I mean, having these destinations really break the flow. We want to bring those insights within the flow. So if you want to discover information while you're in that group, let's make it happen right there. Let's not take you to else somewhere, and then you have to go and then try to find a group and find that information there. And that's why those people cards that you saw, the hover cards, there'll be a version for groups that will have that set of information relevant to that specific group
as
well.
That was my question. So is that still on the roadmap?
It's still on the roadmap. Just to think in terms of where we went from contact card to people card, which gives that intelligence and being able to navigate around, we want to do that for the group card. But right now the group card is really just a navigation element. Which is good because groups is a little tricky from a navigation perspective.
Yeah, so
it is on the roadmap, and it's really at this stage it's got the right platform in place so that we can then add the intelligence to it.
Great. So actually, since we're out of time, I'd love to take questions here, but I think thank you everybody for coming.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, please.